We can proclaim that we are no longer slaves to fear. We're no longer slaves to our own sin or to death, Lord. But we can be called your sons and your daughters. God, we thank you that through faith those things are true for us. And I just pray, Lord, that in every one of us today that would be true. And Father, we thank you so much just for loving us. Lord, we don't deserve your love in any way, but we thank you that because you created us, Lord, you love us. And God, I just pray this morning that we would accept that love, Lord, and that we would take your call from there on to follow you like these people have said that they're going to do. Father, we thank you again just for everything that you've done and everything you're going to do. And we pray all this in your name.
Amen. Thanks. You may have a seat. And would you thank our worship team for leading us this morning? Thank you so much. If you have a Bible, please turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. For the last 6 weeks, we have been in a sermon series called Overcome. And today will be the final message of that series. I personally have really enjoyed this series. It's been a great challenge to me, and I want to encourage those who haven't maybe seen all of them or heard all of them to go check us out online, and you can download the messages that perhaps you might have missed. But one last time, let me review just quickly our theme verse. John 16:33, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, ultimately to us, and he says, I've told you these things so that in me you will have peace, but in this world you will have trouble. We focused on this phrase. We've tried to admit during this series that we live in a world that is full of trouble. We live in a world that is going to be hard, that circumstantially isn't always going to be pleasant. And sometimes we think that just because we're Christians or just because we follow Jesus, that our life should be a whole lot easier than it is. We think that sometimes God owes us because we're following him. But Jesus has made it clear, listen, in this world that you're living in, you're gonna have hardship. You're gonna have trouble. And so we've tried to talk about some of those things, right? We've talked about in this series, what happens when we're full of anxiety and worry? What happens when fear creeps into our life? What happens when we fail? What happens when we're burnt out? What happens when we just flat out doubt? How do we overcome these things that the world throws at us? And of course, the key to this verse is Jesus. Jesus says, hey, listen, even though you're in a world that is full of problems, and even though even you as a Christian at times will be anxious and worry, and even though you as a Christian will experience failure and burnout, and you'll even have doubts in your walk with Christ, there's some good news. Take heart. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. We focused on that word overcome. It means to conquer. It means to be victorious. And here's the principle. If you're in Jesus, you can overcome whatever the world throws at you. Not because you're strong, not because you have strength of yourself, not just because you have good moral power or willpower. No, you can overcome worry, fear, failure, not because of you, but because of Jesus. And if you're in Jesus, right, the Bible says you can have peace. And so I thought today, what's a good way to overcome or to conclude overcome in this particular series? And the question I want to ask today is, how do we overcome excuses? My question specifically is, what is your excuse? What excuse do you offer? Are you a person that's full of excuses, right? Now, don't bump anybody. I just saw somebody bump somebody. This is for you, honey, right? Don't do that. But we live in a world that we give excuses. And I was looking online this past week at all the different categories of excuses that we give, and I came across some what I would label corny jokes, right? I didn't make up these jokes, but I thought there would be a way to kind of break the ice as it relates to somewhat of a serious subject this morning. And so I came across a few of these that I'll share with you. Don't feel like you have to give me the pastor polite laugh. You don't need to do that, all right? But it was interesting that we give excuses sometimes at school, don't we? Like our kids are late to school or our kids miss school, we have to write a note. And on those notes are excuses. I came across a funny one, I thought. And The teacher asked the student, why is it that you don't have your homework? And the student said, well, I lost it because I was fighting another student who said you weren't the world's best teacher. I thought, maybe that's a good one to try, right? If you've ever been in a car accident and you have ever had to fill out an insurance claim, you don't write down your excuse, but you do write down a reason. And one of the insurance companies said that a reason or an excuse that this person gave for flipping their car in an embankment was this, that they, while they were driving, glanced over at their mother-in-law who was sitting in the passenger side, and the next thing he knows, he was head over in the embankment. I'm like, that is not good. I would never write that on a form, but we give excuses for insurance claims. How many times have you been late to work, and as you're going in, your boss shows up and says the question, why are you late? Or maybe he doesn't ask or she doesn't ask why you're late. You just feel compelled to tell them why you're late. They didn't even notice that you were late, but now you're sharing that you're late. One of the best examples that I've ever heard was why people sometimes miss church. And so I read this one, and this made me laugh, and now you're not allowed to use this one, by the way. But it said, Pastor, the reason I missed church is because as I was on my way to church, I glanced at my phone and my phone said no service. So I just turned around and went back home. I'm like, you know, that's not going to work, right? But the point is, if we're honest, we have excuses almost for everything and anything. We're good at justifying. We're good at rationalizing. We're good at vindicating our purpose and why we do what we do. And let's be honest, we're good at excuses. And my question this morning, though, is this. Do we give excuses to God? Sometimes we know that we give excuses to God, but I'm really talking to you who don't think that you give excuses to God. Are you, in some form or fashion, trying to justify with God something as it relates perhaps maybe to your finances or to your kids or maybe about your job? Are you giving God some sort of a rationale, some sort of an excuse why you do things the way you do, even though perhaps it's not exactly the way that God says to do it? And so I want to look at a very familiar example this morning, Exodus chapter 3, the example of Moses. Moses gave God some excuses. And so I want to look at this very familiar story, and I want to remind you of some of the excuses that Moses gave. But here's the point. I want to help us all understand a much bigger principle and how we can overcome the excuses that we offer God sometimes. So look at Exodus chapter 4, and look at the first several verses. I'm sorry, chapter 3. We'll get to chapter 4 in a moment. But chapter 3, the first 4 verses. It says this. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it didn't burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And now I want you to focus on this and remind yourself of this. Notice Moses' response. Moses says, here I am. Now, humor me. How many have heard this story before? Would you raise your hand? All right. Most of us have heard this story before. And it's a very familiar story, a story maybe we heard when we were a kid, or maybe we just read recently as an adult. But Moses is at the second stage of his life. Moses was 120 years old. He lived 120 years old. It's an easy life to remember because you can break it up into three parts by 40 years. The first 40 years, Moses was in Pharaoh's courts. The last 40 years, Moses led the children of Israelites through the wilderness. But the middle 40 years is what we're kind of talking about right now. It's at the end of the 40 years. These 40 years, he was a shepherd with his father-in-law. So think about it. His first 40 years, he's living the lifestyle of the rich and famous in Pharaoh's courts. The second 40 years, he's been nothing but a shepherd, wandering around in a wilderness. Sometimes we would label it as a dead-end job, a routine for 40 years that was flat out boring, doing the same thing. And the Bible says as he's doing this, he's 80 years old. After doing this for 40 years, he sees a bush, it's on fire, it catches his eye, not because it's on fire, but because it's not being consumed by the fire. You know the story. God speaks to the bush, to Moses, and Moses says, "Here I am." I want you just to focus on that first response. I suggest that response from Moses is, "Yes, Lord." I suggest that was probably a moment for Moses' life where he was pretty honored that he, out of all the people on the earth, would be spoken to by God in such a unique way. And it's almost like that popcorn moment, right? Like, you want me to do what? Take my shoes off? Sweet, I will. I'll take my shoes off. This is crazy. There's a bush that's on fire. God is speaking. I don't know if Moses had popcorn, but this is a popcorn moment, right? Like Moses, like, yes, here I am. Yes, Lord, what do you want? This is awesome. I can't wait to tell my friends. I'm going to Facebook everybody. I need to tell everybody. My father-in-law's not going to believe me. I don't care where the sheep just went. There's a bush on fire, and God is speaking to me, not to anyone else, to me, telling me to take my shoes off right now. This is awesome. Here I am, right? Here, selfie, me in the bush, right? No one's going to believe this. And then look at what God says. God says in verse 5, "Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, God said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And look at what the Lord says. The Lord basically says, "I have two messages for you." Message number one is this, Moses. I have a plan. I have a mission. I have a purpose. Verse 7, he says, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of the land into the good and spacious land, a land of flowing with milk and honey." Time out. So Moses is like, "This is incredible. Here I am, Lord. All right. You're talking to me. I'll take my shoes off. This is a popcorn moment." And God's like, "I got to tell you about my plan. I got to tell you about my purpose. I got to tell you about what I'm trying to accomplish." And here it is. "For 400 years, Moses, you know that my people, your people, have been enslaved. And there's been this assumption that for the past 400 years that I've been ignoring them because they've been crying out to me, but I have seen their suffering. I have heard their cries, and today's the day, Moses, it stops." And Moses is like, "Yes! This is incredible. This is like the best story I've heard in a long time. I mean, I was even complaining this morning, stupid sheep. I don't feel like walking my stupid sheep. Like for 40 years, I've been leading these dumb sheep. And then I see this bush, and I knew today was going to be a good day because the bush isn't being burned up. And then it's God, and God speaks to me. I take off my shoes, and God's telling me about this incredible mission." And God's like, yeah, but Moses, there's a second part. Okay, keep going, God. What's the second part? Look at verse 10. "Now, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But look what Moses said. He doesn't say, "Here I am." He changes his response. Now, mind you, it's still three words, but it's a complete different response. In verse 11, Moses said to God, "Who am I?" Who am I? I want you to notice that even though there is only six words out of Moses' mouth, there is such a difference between these six words that I think all of us can relate to this. Like, think about the day that you accepted Jesus. Like, for me, I was 12 years old. I thought I was saved when I was 5. I remember walking an aisle when I was 5, but I don't remember really expressing to God that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. I just remember kind of going through the motions, and I'll tell you what my faith was in. It wasn't in Jesus. My faith was in walking an aisle. And if your friend, my friends, if your faith is in something other than Jesus, you're not saved. And I remember that conviction when I was 12 years old. And I remember when I was 12 years old feeling this conviction, God speaking to me. It wasn't a burning bush moment. That would have been cool. I would have took a selfie. We didn't have phones then. Now I wouldn't have. Mental selfie, right? But listen, even though God did not speak through a burning bush, and even though God did not speak audibly, and those of you who have put your faith in Jesus, you know what I'm talking about. Didn't God speak loud and clear to your heart? And didn't he call your name? And didn't you respond in faith? You're like, here I am. God, you want to save me? You want to give me salvation? You want me to experience the greatest gift of all gifts? You want me to have an opportunity to live forever and ever and ever in heaven? Here I am. But so often, we think that that's where our Christianity ends. We somehow have convinced ourselves that that's the only goal of salvation, that that's the only goal of Christianity, that the only goal is to get to heaven. Put your faith in Jesus and try to survive the world. Try to get as far as you can without having too many major problems in life. You're offering me heaven, God? Here I am. But God reveals to Moses, I have another plan for your life. I'm not just choosing you, Moses. I'm not just calling your name, Moses. Moses, you need to understand something. You're here on this planet at this time for a very specific purpose. Moses, I don't just have a mission, but you're the man for this mission. And Moses is like, who am I? And what I love about Moses is he answers his own question. He starts telling God who he is. And basically what he says to God is, God, I don't know who you think I am, but I'm going to tell you who I'm not. I'm not a leader. Verse 11, he tells God, who do you think I am? I'm not a leader. This is a big job for someone far more. God, did you see me? They're sheep. I'm leading sheep. You want me to go to Pharaoh and ask him to let go of 2 million people? You got the wrong guy. I can't do that. And I'm going to tell you why, God. Who am I? I'll tell you. I'm asking the question. I'm not going to let you answer, God. I'm going to tell you. I'll inform you, God, of who I am. I know you created me, and I know you're talking to me through a bush, but let me tell you who I am not. I'm not a leader. And if that wasn't good enough, Moses continues. He's like, let me tell you also, I'm also not knowledgeable. In verse 12 or 13, he says, I don't have answers to their questions. Like, he starts creating problems. Like, he says, suppose they start asking me this question. I don't have an answer for that question. Matter of fact, like, the number one thing that I often hear for Christians of why they don't witness to their friends and neighbors is because they're afraid that they won't have an answer to their question. Think about that. You're justifying your disobedience to evangelism with a fear that they might ask you a question that you don't have an answer to. God didn't say, hey, go evangelize to your neighbor unless you think they're going to ask you a question that they might not have an answer to. No, he said, go and make disciples. And Moses is kind of throwing out the excuse that sometimes we throw out. I just don't know a lot about the answers to the questions that they might ask me. And God, if that's not good enough, let me tell you what else I'm not. I'm not believable. Like, let's just play this hypothetical game for a moment. Suppose I am the leader. And let's suppose that I even know some of the answers to their questions. They're not going to believe me anyway. Like, God, do you remember 40 years ago, I was actually in Egypt? Do you remember that, God? I actually killed somebody. I don't have a very good reputation. I'm not believable. I'm not trustworthy. I'm not credible. I'm ashamed of my past. Nobody's going to believe me. And God, remember, I'm also not articulate. Like, I stutter and I stammer and I have trouble with my words. God, if you're going to have a person for this mission, like, that actually goes into the courts of Pharaoh, You need somebody that's articulate. You can't have a leader that's stumbling all over their words. You can't have someone that's looking for words. You need someone very clear and very articulate to represent you. And God, I'm just letting you know. I'm just saying, I can't, because I am not the man for this mission. And I love what God does. At this point, through the first four excuses, God doesn't rebuke Moses. See, God's not afraid of sometimes the excuses that we offer him. God knows that sometimes he's got to work us through some of the excuses that we offer him. And God lovingly and patiently works Moses through each of these four excuses. When Moses said, hey, I'm not a leader. And God basically said in a Jeff Stimson translation, I know. I agree. Like, I wasn't ever planning on just staying in the bush. Like, I wasn't going to go back to heaven and just kind of look down like, oh, why did we pick Moses, that idiot? Like, we know the story, fast forward. Remember when you're in the wilderness, God leads them in a cloud. Like, God had to go in a cloud for Moses. Where do we go? Look up, follow the cloud. Moses, can you follow the cloud? When the cloud stops, you stop. Yeah, but God, what about at night? It will turn into a pillar of fire. When we move, you move. Okay. And Moses is offering this. God, I'm a horrible leader. And God in a kind of like, I know. Get over yourself. I chose you as a bad leader. That doesn't make sense. Why? Well, here's why. Because I'm going with you. Like, you're not going on this trip alone. I mean, good excuse, Moses, but here's the excuse buster. I'll be there with you. I am the leader of this trip. I'm just using you. I need somebody. I've chosen you. I'm picking you. Not because of your leadership, by the way. I'm going. I'm the leader. Well, yeah, but God, I'm not knowledgeable. Yeah, I know. You're creating questions to, you know, problems that haven't happened yet. But let's play this game. Okay, Moses, let's suppose they do ask you a question that you can't answer. Well, guess what? Good news. I'll be there. Remember, I'm going. I'll give you the answer. Moses is like, okay, that sounds good. Well, wait a minute, Lord, what about this? I'm not believable. No one is going to believe me. Okay, Moses, what's in your hand? Well, it's a staff, Lord. And remember, he throws the staff down. What does it turn into? Did someone just say puppy? No, your theology's wrong. A snake. A puppy. That would have been that's a children's version going on right now. No, it's not. A snake. Moses jumps back. God says, touch the snake by the tail. Now, that's where I would have added another excuse, by the way. I don't like snakes, God. Got the wrong guy. What does he do? He touches the snake, turns into a staff again. Hey, Moses, take your hand. Put it inside your coat. Pull it out. What's your hand? Oh, my goodness, it's leprous. Put it back in. Pull it back out. It's healthy. Hey, and if those signs don't work for you, Moses, go get a cup of water out of the Nile and pour it on the ground. It'll turn to blood. You know what, Moses? Let me just reassure you. You're not believable, but guess what? I am. I'll empower you. So, Moses, I know you're kind of wrestling with this because I've kind of caught you off guard a little bit. I mean, I'm speaking to you through a bush and, you know, you're kind of digging the fact that I have a sweet mission. Your people are finally going to promised land and the process is going to begin. But Moses, I need you. And Moses is like, okay, I'm not that leader. I'm not knowledgeable. You know, I'm not believable. Oh, what about this one? I'm not articulate. And God's like, listen, Moses, who made your mouth? I did. Do you think at any point when we were making this decision to choose you for this moment, for this point in history, that any of us were up in heaven thinking to ourselves, why would we select Moses? Like, did you know God? He stutters and stammers. And you think there was like a meeting, like a board meeting up in heaven, where like, we can't do Moses, he stutters. God's like, I'm the one who made your mouth. What you think is a flaw and what the world would call a flaw, I'm more powerful than that. Moses, why are you getting this? This isn't about you at all. This is my story, and I'm choosing the foolish and the weak and the broken to tell my story. Stop thinking that this mission depends on your ability, your skill. It doesn't. You have my presence, you have my power, you have my answers, you have my words. Listen, these are just excuses. I think one of the most encouraging things that Moses failed to realize was verse 14. I want you to look at chapter 3, verse 14. When Moses is playing the I am not knowledgeable card, he says in verse 13, okay, God, let me create a question for you. Suppose I go to the Israelites and they say, the God of your father has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? What a great question. Now, I'm going to get really technical. Where are all my theological nerds? And I say that with respect. Anybody here? Okay, I'll just be the guy. I'm going to do it, all right? This is bonus material for those of you who would like it. Did you know that in the Hebrew, the ancient Hebrew, the name for God is what we would say today as what? Yahweh. See, you're just not afraid. You're afraid to raise your hand and identify yourself. Yahweh. But did you know in the ancient Hebrew, Yahweh was only four consonants and there was no vowels. Y-H-W-H. Y-H-W-H. No vowels. And there was a belief by these Jews and these Christian early believers, there was a belief of these Jews that God's name was so sacred, and for the fear that they might say his name in vain, that they wouldn't even pronounce his name. And so that's why it's Y-H-W-H. It's impossible to even say. Therefore, you can't even take his name in vain. So perhaps Moses is asking a really important question. What's the name of your God? Maybe it was a test. That's why a lot of times it's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Oh, okay, I know who you're talking about now. And later, don't you know what they did so that we can say the word Yahweh is they took the other two names of God. Now I'm getting really deep. They have three names for God, Elohim, Adonai, and Yahweh. They took the vowels off of Elohim and Adonai and combined it with Yahweh, where we get the word Jehovah. So maybe Moses is asking a pretty legit question here, but I love what God says. God says, let me just clear this up for you. If the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob doesn't work for you, the God of our fathers doesn't work for you, then Moses, say this. Look at verse 14. I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am the one and only God. The self-existent God, the self-sufficient God. There is no other God but I am. Why do you think it was so important for Jesus in the New Testament when they asked him, who are you? And he said, I am. What was he doing? He's saying, I am God. In John, there are seven I am statements. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am. And there isn't more than one real God. There's only one real God, capital G God. His name is Jesus. Moses, I love that you're asking me a hypothetical question right now because I'm going to reveal to you who it is that is actually talking to you. It is the great I am. That should have been a showstopper. That should have ceased all excuses. That should have been bigger than the fact that there's a bush on fire. For Moses, that should have been it. Because every single time that Moses said, I am not, God kept saying, I am. Hey, I am not a leader, but Moses, that's okay, I am. Hey, I'm not knowledgeable. Moses, that's okay. I am. Hey, I'm not very articulate. That's okay, Moses, because I am. Do you know whatever excuse you can throw God's way, he can throw back the phrase, I am? Because God in you is all you need to be successful. Amen? I am. You think that this would be enough? But Moses gives one more excuse. And to be honest with you, it's probably an excuse a lot of us give, and it's a sad excuse. It's kind of a game changer excuse. And he says to God, well, wait a minute, I'm just not qualified. I want you to look at verse 10. Chapter 4, verse 10. After all of this, actually verse 13. After all of this, Moses said, pardon your servant. Almost kind of like, okay, God, I have a feeling you're going to get mad. You've been so gracious with busting all of my excuses. You've even told me that this is the great I am. So just pardon your servant, but Lord, please send someone else. You know what he's saying to God at this point? Listen carefully. He's no longer saying, I can't. He's saying, I won't. There's a difference. Up to this point, he's saying, I can't because I'm not a leader. I can't because I'm not knowledgeable. I can't because I'm not believable. I can't because I'm not articulate. And God kept saying, but I am, but I am, but I am, but I am. And finally, he gets to this point where he's saying, I don't know how to tell you this, God. The whole reason I said in the beginning of this conversation, who am I, was because not so much I can't, it's just I won't. I won't. And notice what happens. God finally gets angry. Because Moses, in essence, is saying this. He's saying, listen, I'm not the man for the mission. I like the mission. The mission's sweet, by the way. Somebody really needs to deliver our people to the promised land. It's just not me. So is there a way that I can vote for the mission as long as I'm not the man? Is there a way that I can vote for the purpose as long as I'm not that person? Like, I know, God, in 2019, you're saying, go make disciples, but can't just, like, the elders of our church do that? Do you really want all of us to? Like, the mission is a good mission, but I don't think I'm the man. I don't think I'm the woman. I like the purpose. I just don't want to be that person. I have so many other things on my plate. I got work demands. I got my kids growing up and my family. I have all these things that are going on. I don't have time for this purpose because I have other purposes. I believe in your purpose. I just don't want to be the person for the purpose. And that's what Moses is saying to God. He's saying, it's not no longer I can, it's I won't. And God actually gets angry. Verse 14, chapter 4, then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. And he said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he'll be glad to see you. Why is the Lord angry? Because Moses in his heart went from I can't to now I won't. It goes back to the main difference between here I am and who I am. Write quickly or take a picture with your phone. Here I am says I am willing. Who I am says I am not willing to God. When you go to church and God speaks through his word, when you read your devotions and God speaks through his word, you will respond one of two ways. Here I am. I am willing to apply what I just read or heard. Or who am I? I'm not willing. In Moses' case, he said, I am willing to come near you, Lord, but I'm not willing to go out for you. Like, God, if you call on me to come near you, I'll come near you because coming near you is awesome. Like, if you want me to go to a conference and worship, I'll go to a conference and worship, but you want me to leave that conference and go work? Can't I just go to the conference next year again? I would much rather come near you than to go out for you, Moses is saying. Moses is saying, listen, I'll stand in your presence all day long. I'll do Bible study after Bible study after Bible study. I'll get with my friends and we'll study the Hebrew and the Greek. This whole Yahweh thing that Jeff's talking about, that is awesome. I'm going to check that out. But you mean the whole reason we're studying the Bible is so that we live the Bible out? I would much rather just stand in your presence, God, than go serve your purpose. It's an excuse. It's a good excuse. But it's an excuse. Moses is saying to God, hey, I'm willing to fear you. I'll cover my face because I'm not afraid of you, God, but you want me to fear you. You want me to revere you. I'll fear you, but you're asking me to follow you? I don't know if I can do that, God. Can I just stay here and fear you? I'll listen to your agenda. I mean, this whole thing about the mission and purpose, like, Thumbs up. Two thumbs up. I'll listen to it. I'll even advise you, God. Like, that's a pretty good plan. I think we can alliterate it a little bit better, but yeah, that's pretty sweet. No, Moses. The reason I want you to listen to the agenda is so that you'll go lead the agenda. I'm okay with listening to the agenda. I don't know if I want to lead it. Like, I'm okay coming to church and hearing God's word. I'm okay with studying, but you want me to live it out? God's like, yeah, that's the whole point. Why would I share the agenda with you and choose you to lead the agenda if I didn't expect you to lead the agenda? And he's like, just send someone else, please. Just send someone else. Not me. I'm not the person for this purpose. Hey, I'll watch you work. Like, this whole miracle thing, like, who doesn't want to see a miracle? Who doesn't want to see an incredible spiritual show? But you want to now work through me? Like, he didn't get it. Like, hey, Moses, do you get it? Like, I showed up in a bush. My presence and my power is on display in a bush. Likewise, Moses, I will show up in your life and my power will work through you. And Moses is like, I would rather just kind of hang out here and watch you work instead of you work in and through me. I'm looking at this story with fresh eyes and I'm like, oh my goodness, it dawned on me this week. I am Moses. I'm Moses. And perhaps so are you. We are so used to giving God good reasons why we don't fully obey. Well, I couldn't really obey fully because I was too busy obeying you in another area. Like, you did, after all, tell me to come near, so I'm coming near. Yeah, but the whole purpose I told you to come near is for the second part, so that you'll go out. And so often we are in this mentality that it's okay to obey God in certain areas or halfway and not all the way. And often I find myself in my own life. Hey, God, maybe I'm not your man. Maybe I'm not the person. And so my PowerPoint is stuck. There it is. Can I encourage you to focus on the right question as we conclude? Moses is focusing on the wrong question. His question was, who am I? And God's saying, that's not the question. The question is, Moses, who is the great I am? You see, Moses, when you first showed up, you were like, here I am. And God could have had a, like, you know, drop the mic moment just right there. He could have, like, been like, that's exactly right. Here I am. Like, God could have said back, no, Moses, here I am. That's enough. Anything you throw my way, that should be enough. Because here I am. Moses is saying, here I am. Hey, this is awesome. God's talking to me. Here I am. And God's like, no, here I am. And then Moses says, well, wait a minute, who am I? And God's like, no, that's the wrong question. The question should be, Moses, who am I? Who is the great I am? Like Moses should have started calculating, wait a minute. If God chose me, then he'll carry me. Like, if God chose me, it doesn't depend upon me. God chose me, therefore he'll carry me. Wait a minute, I should have been thinking, God picked me, that means God will provide for me. Wait, God selected me, that means God will support me. God has wanted me. Doesn't that mean then he'll walk with me? Friends, isn't that true of you and I? God has chosen you, he has chosen me, therefore he will carry us. He has picked us, therefore he'll provide for us. He has selected us, therefore he will support us. He wanted you, he wanted me, therefore he will walk with me. Why do we think that God only calls the qualified? He qualifies the called. He enables those that he picks and selects and chooses. And Moses eventually gets on God's plan. So I'm going to invite the team to come back up. You saw that last picture there. It's a personal story that I've shared before, but I think it fits so perfectly here because I think it illustrates maybe what we're doing with God. One of the biggest excuses that we offer up in daily living is to police officers. And I personally, when I was a pastor in New York, gave a police officer a very unique excuse that I want to share with you. It was 3 a.m. and I forgot to fill the baptistry. I've shared this with you before. Some of you will remind yourself of this, but on that particular Sunday, I was responsible to fill the baptistry and I totally forgot. And I woke up at 3 a.m, like out of dead sleep, and I was like, oh, I forgot to fill the baptistry. And on that Sunday, we had 15 people getting baptized. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is not going to be good. And so I started calculating in bed how long it takes to fill up the baptistry. And it would have been perfect just as church started that first service. So I hustled out of my bed, grabbed my keys, didn't even get a coat, threw on my boots. It was in the middle of winter, had shorts and a t-shirt on, drove to the church, filled up the baptistry. Felt so bad for those 15 people. The reason you needed it on earlier was so that it was warm. But on the way back, I'm like, oh man, I can't believe I almost forgot the baptistry, and I'm flying home. I didn't realize I was flying home. I'm trying to get back to sleep, and I look in my rearview mirror, and there is a police officer. No one on the road. The lights are flashing yellow. I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? No one's out here. This policeman must have known. I'm like, Lord, are you kidding me? Why would you wake me up to fill up the baptistry and then give me a ticket for speeding? Like, this is horrible. So as the police officer's coming, I have my license and registration and my insurance card, and he comes. And he says, you know, you were speeding. I said, well, sir, I didn't know that, but I assume that's what I was doing. I said, if I give you an excuse that you have never heard before, would you let me go? He said, if it's true. I said, well, I'm a pastor that forgot to fill up the baptistry. And I told him the story. And he's like, you got to be kidding me right now. I'm like, you've heard this one before? He's like, no. He's like, let me run your stuff and make sure this is legit. He's like, do you have any proof that you're a pastor? I'm like, I have a bulletin here. You can match the name on the bulletin. He's like, this is incredible. He's like, I can't wait to tell other people this story. I'm like, do I get a ticket? He's like, no. I'm like, man, that's awesome. And I was thinking about that because I'm asking my own self, do I do that to God? Like, do I give God excuses, thinking that I will somehow get out of responsibility? Like, if God just hears my excuse, like if he just understood where I'm coming from, if he just knew why I'm deciding the way I'm deciding, he certainly would understand. He would excuse me from what it is that he's asking me to do. You know, it's dawning on me that not only am I like Moses when I give excuses in my life towards God, but I'm also like Moses because God has also called me for a task. He's called me because there's people who are enslaved. There's people who are enslaved specifically by sin, and they're my friends and my neighbors. People that I don't even know that I cross paths with at Walmart or at Kroger. People that I see on the sport field as I watch my kids play. And God is saying to me, like he said to Moses, Jeff, I'm calling you. I'm choosing you, not because of you. You're not anybody of anything, but I'm choosing you so that people who are enslaved will be free and can experience the promised land. But I keep giving God excuses, and I keep giving God excuses, and I keep thinking to myself, well, wait a minute. I like the mission. I know that's part of the mission. I know that you use people to accomplish this mission, but I'm just not your man. I'm just not your person for this purpose. And God say, no, I've put you on this planet in the year 2019 at the age of 45 so that you can fulfill this purpose. And yeah, I get it. There's a lot of things in your life that are hectic and there's a lot of things going on and you're, you know, anxious about this and you're fearful about this and you're failing here and you're burnout here and you're doubting here, but don't forget why you're here. Because there's people in this world that are enslaved and trapped and imprisoned by a lifestyle that's being led from the lie in the very pit of hell by the enemy of himself. In the same way that Jesus showed up on this earth to overcome my problem, my sin problem, my death problem, he wants now to use me because my blinders are off and I'm awake to the real purpose of this earth and why I'm here at this very time. It's so that I will overcome any excuse that I throw God's way and remind myself that I walk with the great I am, and he wants to use me in spite of me to wake other people up spiritually. God has an unfolding story that continues to be told, and it's about his renown, it's about his glory, it's about his redemption, it's about his reconciliation, and it doesn't make any sense to me why God would choose me, but he has. And he's chosen you as well. And so I don't know what excuse you're offering to God this morning, but I do know this, that God wants it to stop today. He wants to eliminate from your mind that you can't, that I can't. He wants us to understand that he can. No matter what we throw his way, he can overcome that. And maybe our attitude this morning has gone beyond I can't. Maybe it's I won't. And he wants us to repent of that and say, okay, God, here I am. I am willing. I don't know how you're going to do this in me and through me, but you know what? At least now I'm willing. And so maybe that's your decision this morning. I think one of the best ways to conclude this service this morning, it was with a song that I love. It's called The Great I Am. And there's a line there at the very tail end of the song. It says, there's no power in hell, not any power in hell that can overcome the great I am, basically. And that's our declaration. No matter what we throw God's way, he can handle it. You anxious, you're worrying, you're failing, you're fearing. We've tried to teach you. You're not going to overcome that. You're going to fail. But in Jesus, you can succeed. Because why? He is the great I am. And no power in hell can stop him. And that's our prayer of declaration this morning. That's our commitment to God that this morning. Whatever you're personally wrestling with, you are going to surrender and give it to the great I am. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and let's sing this incredible song as we close out this series.